This is the audiobook version of Behaving from Genes to Gender, Trom ebook. For more audiobooks, please visit tromsite.com. Thank you. Who are you? You might say your name, job, or whatever else you like. You will likely try to find yourself within a bunch of words whose meanings you have learned from parents, school, friends, the internet, and so on. You learned what a job is, what morality is, what is good or bad, beautiful or ugly, acceptable or not, violent or relaxing. One interesting but disturbing example of how important the environment is in developing your personality and values is feral children, meaning kids raised in extreme environments. Jeannie was devoid of social contact from birth. When she was discovered 10 years later, she was so different from a normal human being that she was considered mentally ill, although she had no brain damage whatsoever. She couldn't talk or walk properly. She showed no feelings of empathy, morality, objectivity, sociability, and so on. Behaviors thought to be normal and inborn to all humans.
One particularly striking memory of those early months was an absolutely wonderful man who was a butcher. And he never asked her name, he never asked anything about her. They just connected and communicated somehow. And every time we came in, and I know this was so with others as well, he would slide open the little window and hand her something that wasn't wrapped, a bone of some sort, some meat, fish, whatever, and he would allow her to do her thing with it. And to do her thing, what her thing was basically, was to explore it tactily, to put it up against her lips and feel it with her lips and touch it almost as if she were blind.
When introduced, I extended my hand. She reached out with her fingers and delicately touched my hand, and then in a sense that was it. She had made my acquaintance. She was satisfied for herself about me. But my reaction was I had 1,000 questions immediately. Who, what, how does this come about? Why do I see what I'm seeing? Solitary confinement is diabolically the most severe punishment, and in my experience, really quite dramatic symptoms develop in as little as 15 minutes to an hour, and certainly inside of 2 or 3 days, and try to expand this to 10 years boggles one's mind.
There are other cases, such as a girl raised more among dogs than humans, so that she behaved more like the dogs than humans. These examples are not cases in which the children have brain damage. The examples show not only that human values come from the environment, but that even one's walk, facial expressions, or body language are influenced by one's experiences. Even tiny differences in the environment can cause huge changes in behavior. One example is of 2 identical twins, one of whom is stung by a bee at age 4. That one small event over his extended life may make him fearful of all insects for the rest of his life, causing insectophobia. This kind of event is one reason people have very different personalities. Their life experiences are always unique. This is why people looking at the moon have so many different reactions to it. Some will photograph it as art, some will not care, and others may cry with amazement. So even when we see the same thing, we have different interpretations of it because of personal experiences which shape our values. You may think there are only 2 genders, male and female, but you would be mistaken from both a cultural and biological perspective. There are people whose biology doesn't permit a distinct identification as male or female. It is called intersex.
I look female on the outside. I have normal female body, basically. But instead of having XX chromosomes like a typical female, I have XY chromosomes like a typical male.
When I was born, I showed up and I had ambiguous genitals. My mom, who was a nurse, who worked at the hospital where I was born, looked around and she saw all the nurses around the edge of the birthing suite do this.
everyone's dying to know what the baby is, and how do you say, we don't really know yet?
Cultural gender is a different thing, though, and depending on the culture, there may be more than simply female or male genders. We know that even those two differ. There are many masculine people who are very different from each other. In India, Hirja, Nepal, Pakistan, and Samoa, people accept a third gender as being legal. Something called fafafine, for example, are boys raised as girls in random fashion who behave like women because of that. So the environment even changes what we call gender. Within the scientific community, there is no longer any doubt that taste is mostly created by what is around the thing you taste. The color, the restaurant, the name of the food, the shape of it, or whether it is soft or crispy. Even for those with a different biology, such as more taste buds, taste preferences are shaped by their experiences. There are people who wouldn't eat mushrooms, but because of different circumstances, end up loving them. Color perception is another great example of how the language you speak makes you see colors in different ways.
Okay, now you look at these new 12 squares. One of them again has a different color. Which one?
He's testing how long it takes them to spot a color which is different from the others.
Now?
Now.
Can you do the same thing again?
This is what they're looking at. For us, it's quite hard to spot the odd one out.
Okay, can you point one more time towards the different color? Very good.
But for the Himba, it's easy to see the green, which is different.
So you see, in this particular trial, this green patch looks very much like the other ones, at least to me, and I think to most other Westerners. Whereas for the Himba, this is a different color. Well, they have a different word for this type of green compared to the other types of green. And that allows them to more easily distinguish between these two colors when they're next to each other. Whereas for Hardy, it's very hard. So when Westerners do this exact same trial, they will spend much longer and they will be much more likely to make a mistake than the Himba.
The next experiment is trickier for the Himba. In this one, they are shown a circle of green squares, which includes one blue square.
So again, 12 colors, and you point towards the one that is different from the other 11 colors.
For us, we have separate words for green and blue. But as the Himba have the same word for both, it takes them longer to spot the blue.
Can't see it.
Okay, that was a difficult one for him. The difference between the two categories of color is very close to each other. For us, it's quite clear the one that is different, but for them, they have to look very hard. We measure the time they take to give the response, as well as errors. And what we find is that the Himba will take much longer to find the different color in this version of the experiment with blue and green.
And if it influences sight in this powerful way, what else may language influence? You often hear that there is a gene that makes people violent, alcoholic, gay, and so on. But is there? Can a gene lead to such complex, culturally evolved behaviors? We know indeed that genes determine your eye color or how susceptible you are to certain diseases. But can genes lead to various types of behaviors? Consider the most often cited cases. There is a gene called the warrior gene, which supposedly makes people more aggressive and violent. I remember a documentary by the BBC called The Warrior Gene, in which they investigated just that. The reporter, a cool, calm guy, finds out at the end of the documentary that he has that gene.
You know, there's many, many sheets, and they all look normal. I was like, oh, this is fantastic. And then I came to one, and it was the last one, as it turns out, and it would look very abnormal. And this particular PET scan had no orbital cortex activity. It had no temporal lobe activity. This whole sort of limbic system was not functioning. And I said, oh my God, this was one of these killers. It's the exact same pattern as a killer. But when I looked down at the code, it was not one of the killers, it was me. It was really a shock. It was a shock, but you know, I tried to make, you know, it was like, that's really interesting. Now, I'm not in jail, and I haven't killed anybody. I haven't done any of that stuff. And again, everybody had a mix of things in our family. It looked like an average sort of mix of these different genes that have to do with aggression and all sorts of behaviors. Except now, again, there was this one that showed all of these high-risk genes, and it was mine. It was like, what are the odds of getting these? To throw the dice 20 times and come up 6-6, 6-6, 6-6. You know, it's millions to one. This, you know, really became probably more serious in my mind because, you know, it's like, who am I, really? I mean, people with far less dangerous genetics become killers and are psychopaths than what I had. You know, I had like almost all of them. It turns out that I had an unbelievably wonderful childhood. Then I went back and looked at old movies and old, you know, pictures, and I'm smiling and I'm just happy as a lark. And it's just, you can see it kind of all the way through my life. You know, there's a good chance that that offset all these genetic factors, the brain development and everything. And it washed that away.
Even if you see aggression in mice with that gene variation, it doesn't mean it applies to humans. And it doesn't mean that even if it applies to humans, that they will become aggressive or that this is the cause of violence. Are most people with this gene violent? If yes, what do you call violence? Verbal violence? Being rude may be seen as violent to some, while dancing around naked may seem aggressive and dangerous to others. Putting someone in debt for the necessities of life so they can never pay it off, even with a lifetime of laborious work, may also be considered violent. So, even the definition of violence or aggression is culturally based. Therefore, even when the experiment seems to suggest something, it is often extremely vague. Let's suppose we get some broad definition of aggressive behavior and find a pattern in those warriors. If those people can control their behavior through mental hospitals, anger management sessions, etc., then the gene is less or not important at all. Think of Tourette's syndrome. Basically, it causes people to behave in an uncontrollable way. They can't control some of their body or language actions, resulting in different types of tics. Some curse, some engage in small rituals before doing something else, some whistle, and others can't even talk because of it. It is thought that a high level of dopamine causes their brain to trigger impulsively, similar to being electrically overcharged, and this causes their uncontrollable movements.
This guy called Ken, because he's a Kenny Ken Ken.
Right,
so don't text while driving, don't risk it!
Hey. Touch me penis, it's great.
That's a fat guy.
Hey. Shut up! Hey! Off your homo! Hey! Hey! Hey!
You may want to curse, but you can hold it in. They can't. It's like the 1 second before you sneeze when you can't do much to stop it.
So tell me what your Tourette's symptoms are now. What do you feel? What happens to you?
I often describe for everyone else who doesn't have Tourette's as it's like a sneeze that wants to come out and is going to come out, and you might as well just let it out. I also just describe it as like, say, having a fizzy can and you're shaking it, and wanking. You have a fizzy can and you're shaking it, and it's just better to just let it go.
Oh, faggots.
Bugger it. Once you let it out, it just erupts. And I think that's where I am with my Tourette's.
It is thought, though with little evidence, that Tourette's syndrome is genetically transmitted, like the warrior gene. We can see both as genes making people behave in a certain way. But here's the thing. We cannot say people with Tourette's are violent, aggressive, funny, or dangerous, etc., because the dopamine makes their thoughts have tiny explosions. Rather, their thoughts are created by their experiences. Thus, some may curse in Spanish, some in Japanese, some may play drums better, some may just laugh, and so on. So the biology of Tourette's syndrome impacts people's body, brain, but that doesn't imply that it also makes them violent or aggressive in any way, or untruthful, funny, stupid, and so on. It varies from case to case depending on how they're raised and their experiences. In the same sense, I find it hard to say there is a violence gene. There may be a gene that makes your muscles more tense, increases the level of dopamine in your brain, and so on, but the end result is dependent on the environment as the Tourette syndrome example. In both cases, Tourette's and the warrior gene, the same patterns of behavior, the symptoms, are found in people without those genes, thus making the gene less or not at all important, even if they exist. There are people with frontal lobe damage from mutation or an accident who don't feel emotions like others do. It is a bit tricky to explain, but imagine someone crying or being afraid, and you being unable to understand how he or she feels. Can we say such people are predisposed to being murderers? Are they going to kill other people just because they do not understand how pain feels? Of course not. One guy with this problem talked about it and said he understands but cannot feel. But this won't make him a murderer. He sees someone crying and, although he can't feel what that person feels, he understands that the other person feels sad. He has been educated on how to react to such a situation, just as you have. If a gene makes you an alcoholic, I may have it, but since I don't drink alcohol, I don't know, and this is the point I want to make. What people say about an alcoholism gene is that some people react differently to alcohol than others at a biological level. It is similar to how you react to certain drugs or foods. They have shown that people with this gene tend not to be affected by alcohol as much as others. So someone having this gene can drink 5 beers and not feel dizzy. So far it says nothing about them being an alcoholic, and this is true because he or she regulates how much they drink. Having that gene does not mean you will become an alcoholic, just that your body reacts differently to alcohol than others. There are some who do not taste sweets very much. Can we say they are diabetic? Or even predisposed to diabetes? Of course not. Even people genetically predisposed to diabetes, but with no taste for sweets, are not more likely to develop diabetes if they eat very little sweets. My mother is predisposed to diabetes and she likes sugary foods, but she eats only sugar-free foods so as not to endanger her health. She's doing that because she knows about it and has made an educated decision. So you see, even this kind of gene does not determine behavior. At most, they can influence things in the same way that having a poor olfactory sense may let you sniff dangerous gases. But there are already dangerous gases that your nose can't even sense, though you know to stay away from them. Yes, you may have a physical condition that you can learn about and deal with. It does not control you, and with understanding, it is you who are dealing with it. There is a gene mutation which causes people to have no sense of touch. A girl with this condition was looking out the window when a smell of burnt flesh caught her attention. She realized after a few minutes she was standing on a hot radiator. She was careful from that moment on. The notion of a gay gene is a controversial topic, but no gay gene has been isolated so far. You can read any scientific study and you will never find the gay gene. But as for other causes, the research is very vague, and we may wonder what a homosexual actually is. Maybe there is sexual attraction in general, and a gay gene is one of the manifestations of it. We know people are sexually attracted to lots and lots of things, animals, toys, big breasts, hair, long feet, children, sounds, old people, dead people, some get sexually excited over fires, electronics, and so on. It is so diverse that if we were to find a name for all of them and a corresponding gene, it would seem completely crazy. What makes gays so special then? To be honest, I have no clue. I do not understand what they are attracted to specifically, but I don't understand myself either in regards to what aspects of a girl are attractive to me and why. Knowing that what is attractive today wasn't attractive hundreds, even just tens of years ago, we can reasonably conclude that culture impacts what we find attractive and what not. We see today guys who look very much like girls, and yet they are not gay. And also the opposite, girls who look and behave in a masculine manner. There is a mix of behaviors that cannot be properly defined. There are people who are transformed into gays or lesbians, or other genders as mentioned at the beginning of this video. So if that can be created by the environment alone, then this is very important. It means that the gay gene may play no significant role, even if it exists. There was a video that circulated online and made a noise among people. It was a sexy woman, naked, filmed in a bathtub, acting in a very seductive way. First the face, then the camera went down slowly to the breasts, and then continued lower. At this point, straight people were excited and attracted to the woman, but gays not at all. But when it goes further down, that female had a penis. She was a he, a trans woman, a guy who looked like a woman but with breast implants. At this point, the straight guys were deeply disgusted. A penis ruined their entire week, but made the gays happy after all. The entire story is very relevant. If we think about it, the guy who looked like a woman was attractive for straight guys, and it was only a visual or configuration allure. The only problem was the penis, the male sexual organ. What if she/he had a sex change operation as thousands do each year? Straight guys could have been deeply in love with him, and gays would be disgusted. Such scenarios happen many times and prove how sexual attraction can be purely visual, and that what is attractive can be rendered by the culture. Therefore, when a gay person likes another gay man, he likes the present gay man, the visual perception of him, and not the gaze of the 16th century. That means that they are influenced by the culture and the environment they are exposed to. This imposes the configuration for the sexual preferences. Gay-like behavior in animals seems to be an argument for gay being natural, but there are serious problems with that in theory. First of all, there are plenty of abnormal sexual behaviors in animals, not only attraction for the same sex. You can see tons of YouTube videos of turtles trying to have sex with shoes. Can we put us in their shoes and see this act as a manifest of the shoe turtle gene? Or is it better to see what makes the turtle attracted to that shoe in the first place? It seems to be visual, so we have to investigate from this point on. This is how you do science, in my opinion. Same with gays, lesbians, heterosexuals, so-called normal people, and so on. If we are to understand what makes people attracted to whatever they are attracted to, we should carefully investigate it. If the turtle was blind, it probably wouldn't have tried to have sex with that shoe in the first place. You should ask yourself what made you attracted to girls, if this is your preference. Do you remember? Because I personally don't. It is a mystery to me. It just happened at an age when I could understand the cultural difference between boys and girls. And this is the key. I read an article about a boy blind from birth who did not like to play with boys because he was overweight and was afraid of falling down. Because of that, he ended up playing with girls and eventually behaving like them. To quote from his blog post, "I much preferred sitting and reading a braille book or talking to the girls. I even learned to bounce a ball and learned some of the rhymes the girls would say while playing ball or jumping rope." End quote. But he was eventually rejected by the girls. I quote, "I was teased unmercifully and soon even the girls got tired of playing with me, and so I mostly stayed alone reading and listening to what was going on around me." End quote. Could that have been the moment that made him attracted to boys? He doesn't claim that, but it may be so, because, as he says, he did not know at that age about the difference between boys and girls. I quote, "All the boys were interested in sports and rough games. I wasn't. Some talked about girls, but because I was blind from birth, and because nobody ever talked to me about sex, I had no idea what was being discussed. I am ashamed to say that I didn't even know the difference between girls and boys, except that girls were usually nicer to me, and yet, I felt a strange feeling when hugging a male student." End quote. So he did not know the difference between boys and girls, only that at a cultural level, girls are nice nice and boys are tough. And then he was rejected by girls, and later he started to be attracted by what he understood as being boys. Of course, this is my interpretation of the whole story, but please read the article he wrote and draw your own conclusions. You should keep in mind that all those behavior examples people say are gene-driven can be triggered by environment alone. So even if these genes are ever isolated, if people with no such genes show behavior similar to those who have them, then those genes are relatively less important or not important at all, and we should take a look at the environment. We could have ditched the entire video for this last point because it is completely relevant and as scientific as it can get. You are your neuroconnections, and there is no doubt about that. What you like, what you accept, what you recognize, even your senses from pain to sight, are influenced by these neuroconnections. This is why a person with Alzheimer's disease forgets his name or doesn't know how to make a coffee anymore. Parts of his/her neuroconnections are negatively affected. We also know, as a fact, that even the act of thinking changes the physical structure of your brain. New experiences shape your brain, your neuroconnections. Even if you are born with a specific neuroconnection, the brain is so plastic it can and eventually will change. This is why even genetically identical twins have different neuroconnections. A plus B equals you are your experiences. Simple. People are so different from each other, yet very similar in many ways, but both cases are shaped by different or similar experiences.
Maybe I'm foolish, maybe I'm blind, thinking I can see through this and see what's behind. Got no way to prove it, so maybe I'm lying. But I'm only human after all. I'm only human after all. Don't put your blame on me. Don't put your blame on me. Take a look in the mirror, what do you see? Do you see it clearer, or are you deceived in what you believe? I'm only human after all, and you're only human after all. Don't put the blame on me. Don't put your blame on me. Some people got the real problems. Some people out of love. Some people think I can solve them. Lord, heaven's above. I'm only human after all. I'm only human. My opinion, don't ask me to lie and beg for forgiveness for making you cry, for making you cry. 'Cause I'm only human after all. I'm only human after all. Don't put your blame on me. Don't put the blame on me. I'm only human after all. I'm only human after all. Don't put the blame on me. Don't put the blame on me. I'm only human, I do what I can. I'm just a man, I do what I can. Don't put the blame on me. Don't put your blame on me.